All right, let's see how it goes. Much better. Much better. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. No promises going forward, but you got to admit, that sounds a hell of a lot better. Yeah, wow, 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 wow. Remember 24 hours ago from this moment how I showed up? Sounding and feeling better. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, so update. Still a little banged up. Still sound a little froggish, but better than yesterday. And if you thought yesterday was bad, you should go listen to the podcast I did after the program yesterday. Yesterday was rough enough, but I was still all hopped up on prescription meds, over-the-counter meds, tea, cough drops, aspirin, literally anything I could get my hands on to get through the program. And then you get a certain amount of energy and adrenaline that once the pipes start to warm up, it's pretty good, right? So the show went pretty well. I sounded pretty good, but then I cooled off for an hour and then went to tape the pod with Thomas Dimitroff, and that sounded rough. By the way, my guy Thomas Dimitroff was awesome. The conversation was absolutely awesome. Me, I sounded freakishly terrible. So, got through it. Laid low last night. Had to get out of, thank you, Alvin. Had to get out of a dinner meeting that I really, really wanted to attend, but did the responsible thing. And here we are. Here the bleep
here we are. Here the we are.
So, see how it goes. I would say I'm definitely feeling better and sounding better. Still a little banged up. What's cracking? So, I'm here today. I'm here tomorrow. And then I'm gone for two more weeks. Sorry about that. Sorry, not sorry. You know how my schedule goes. You should get up in here right now. If there's something you want to talk about, do it right now. Especially do it right now, and I mean right now, like as in hour number one. I've got three interviews, and they start at the top of hour number two. So let me hit you with that phone number right now, 1-800-636-8686, toll-free in the U.S., toll-free in Canada, wherever the hell you are. Hit me up right now. I'd love to hear from you before I take my last 2 weeks of the summer off, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter. Twitter's still a thing. People still use Twitter. Hit me at Jim Rome. Email me. Believe it or not, email is still a thing. Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So the interviews are as follows. Blake Wesley, San Antonio Spurs guard. Seems to me we have not talked to a Spur in a while. So that's good. I like that. Top of hour number two. Also in the second hour, we'll talk some Packer football. Safety, Adrian Amos, 10:40. These are Pacific times now. And then coming up in hour number three, the head coach. We actually were talking about him yesterday. Head coach at TCU, Sonny Dykes. 1-800-636-8686. I can't believe I'm going to do this. I can't believe I'm going there again. Now, you know I'm in SoCal. You know I'm a Los Angeles native. This is a national radio show. But yes, I am based in SoCal. So, it was very big news yesterday when I opened up the program with a take about the New York Mets. Really unusual. Well, not so unusual in the sense that I've done it before. But generally, when I do it, when I open up this show talking about the New York Mets, it's to talk about how crappy they are and how embarrassing they are and how they're just not good for baseball, how they're just not good for life. Except that's not what I did yesterday. I did not do any of that, in fact.
Not good.
I started off with a take on the New York Mets and a take about how awesome they are. And you know what? I'm going to run that the hell back. I'm going to make the statement right here and right now. Go ahead and break up the freaking Mets. Break up the freaking New York Mets. Break them up. Because they just went upside Big Bro's head with a broomstick. They weaponized that broomstick. Swept their ass in a critical Subway Series. Man, Rit, your head's gonna explode. That bald head's gonna explode. Rit, you love that song. Shut up, Rit. Just take the compliment. Rit hit me with, hate the Mets, love the song. You know what you hate, Rit? You hate vegetables. You hate nutrients. You hate water.
Freaking ridiculous.
It's like the only 85-year-old I know who still drinks Kool-Aid. Like, literally Kool-Aid. Not the Kool-Aid. Not the metaphorical Kool-Aid, but actual Kool-Aid. Yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Anyway, back to the Mets. Stop knocking me off my rhythm, old man. The Mets snatched their bleeping souls. And Yankee fan, do not waste your time nor my time by pointing out that it happened midweek at the end of July. I know this already. I know how to read a calendar. I acknowledge that. I understand when they did what they did. Just don't tell me that it was meaningless, because it wasn't. That sweep matters. The way the Mets showed up and the message they sent matters. By the way, everything matters. Everything matters. You should know that. Well, I'd say the one guy who already does know that. The last guy you need to tell that to is one Maxwell Martin Scherzer. If you are wondering why the Mets went out and dropped 130 mil on a soon-to-be 38-year-old pitcher, it's because that dude, who turned 38, actually, lives for moments like that. Yesterday was exactly the kind of game you bring this guy in for. A big-time game against a big-time opponent. Coming off a game where the back end of the bullpen worked really pretty hard. In other words, you needed your horse to be a freaking horse last night. And that's exactly what Max Scherzer was. The hell do I know? Don't take my word for it. Take the word of Aaron Judge, because he would know.
The count 2-2. 2-1, 2-out. Mets lead by a run. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Max Scherzer embraces the moment, and he strikes out Aaron Judge. The Yankees strand two in the top of the third.
Grab some wood, meat, then in the sixth.
Wants to make sure he does not barrel anything.
Felt like a slider set up, and it was a slider set up. He punches out Judge for the second time tonight.
Didn't barrel Jack. Got him twice. Can we make it three? Go to the seventh.
Looks like it's an empty the tank inning for Scherzer right here, throwing 97.
Now, here's the 1-2. Struck him out swinging on a breaking ball away.
The Hall of Famer's right. She called it. 0 for 4 against Mad Max, 3 punch outs, complete and total domination. And he did it on a night when he had to have it, where he knew that bullpen was gassed. And he knew he had to be the red-assed legend alpha that we all know him to be. And that's what he did, because he's a dude. Scherzer's the ultimate dude. 38, 58, it doesn't matter. This maniac is coming for you every single time. You find me a dude anywhere in that sport that's more competitive than Scherzer, even at that age, even though he's already punched his ticket for Cooperstown. And again, telling me that nothing that happens in baseball in July matters is a bad take. Last night did matter. In fact, it mattered a hell of a lot to the Mets. If Tuesday night was game one of the July World Series, last night was game four. A chance to get the sweep. A chance for Scherzer and the Mets to tell the Yankees and the rest of the baseball world to tell them how their ass tastes.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Tuesday was a chance to make a statement, and then last night was a chance to underline it. And they did. However, not without a moment or two, right? As an example, Timmy Trumpet was not in the building last night. Edwin Diaz worked his ass off the night before, so he was not coming out last night. So, they had to go to David Peterson in the eighth. And it's always in the back of your mind, right? Mets gonna Met, especially with that bully, especially with their hammer not able to come out. So, of course, you take the ball from a future Hall of Famer and an absolute bulldog in Max Scherzer, and then you give it to Peterson, a guy who broke his foot walking to the dugout last year. How do you think that's going to go? It went exactly the way you would expect. Peterson walks the first guy he faces on four pitches, and then on his fifth pitch, this happened.
Well, here is Gleyber Torres, and the pitch swung on, hit in the air to right. Back goes Marte on the track, at the wall, she's gone! It's Gleyber Day! Gleyber goes the opposite way and hits it over the fence in deep right field. Boy, what a big two-run home run to tie the game.
It's funny he said that. Dodger Jano hit me up last night with, should we have another Gleyber Day barbecue?
It's Gleyber Day!
I'm like, yeah, maybe. Who did we have last year at our Gleyber Day barbecue?
Gleyber Day!
Anyway, never mind that the Mets are thin on the back end. Never mind that they really didn't have a lot of other good options. I mean, they had to do that, right? But let's not let the facts get in the way that the Mets were going to Met, despite all the good things that we've been saying about them now for the last several weeks. They're going to Met. And a perfect week was about to get ruined. Mets fan, I know you were gripping, and understandably so. And you probably were already spinning it that, you know what, it's still all right. We got a split. Big bro still tasted his own blood. We're all good. But in doing all that, because you're so used to it, you're so beaten down, you're so used to it, right? You forgot about one thing. You forgot about Starling Marte, Mr. Walk-Off. Mr. Walk-Off in July, because there are clutch hitters. And then there is Starling Marte, the clutchest of the clutch. And the Walk-Off King came through yet again.
Peralta deals. Swinging a liner to left, base hit, put it in the books. Here comes Escobar, he scores the winning run. Marte slams his helmet down at first. The Mets have swept the Yankees. They have defeated them 3-2. The Mets pour out of the dugout. They are mobbing Starling Marte to the right of second base. The Mets have gained a game on the Atlanta Braves.
They sure as hell have. Again, meet the bleeping Mets, because that's two for them. Two for them. A two-game sweep. Total domination. Little bro kicking big bro's ass. Hey, like, I'm not going to say that the Yankees are going to panic or that that forced them to panic, but not long thereafter, they went out and they traded for Andrew Benintendi. And as clutch as Marte was, the Yankees were the exact opposite. 0 for 15 with runners in scoring position in a two-game series? You talk about manning the hell down. 0 for 15 with runners in scoring position. Aaron Boone's dudes were not exactly bleeping savages in the box, were they? Far from it. Better tighten that bleep up.
Far from it.
I mean, I would say the Yankees going 0 for 15 with runners in scoring position in a series against the Mets is a matter of the Yankees choking. But not now. Not with these Mets. The Yankees just ran into an orange and blue buzzsaw. They're lucky they made it out of there alive. Again, I know it's just July. I know nobody is going ticker tape down the Canyon of Heroes in July. But that city belongs to the Mets right about now. Far be it for me to say from Southern California, but I'm going to say it anyway. Right now, that city belongs to the Mets. You can't deny that. LGM LFG METS. Can you do that backwards, Tony La Russa? LGM LFG METS.
RSTUV.
Zebra Tractor. Hashtag
RSTUV.
Nothing more amazing than me starting the show again with a Mets take. And the only thing more amazing than me again starting the show with a positive Mets take is that I'm not done. There's more where that came from. Dodger Jim wants to talk more about the Mets. And I will before the program is over. It should tell you once and for all that I do not root for anything or anybody other than something to talk about. And the Mets have given me that. You see, I'm not Dodger Jim. I'm not some fanboy. Believe me, I've taken so many runs at them over the years. And by the way, that's been fun too.
You sound like a homer.
But I'm having fun hyping these guys. I like this song. I like the way they're coming back, and I like the message they sent. Freaking Buck. Look at Buck. How about Buck turning Aaron Boone inside out? Freaking Buck. Yo, Buck, you have not made a jungle run in a long, long time. Buck has always been good with the jungle. And even more importantly, always good with a clubhouse. Buck Showalter if you need him, man. 1-800-636-8686. Mets fan, where the hell are you? Some other things I want to get to before I hit you with some reaction. How about we go behind the scenes? A little BTS. I want to talk about some things that happened on the program yesterday that were pretty amazing. I will have that for you, too. Something I did not get to yesterday, which holds up and jumps the day, because it's going to jump a lifetime. Pervin Liar. He may have thought that he dodged a scud when I didn't get my thoughts in on that.
That was devastating.
But it still holds up today, like it'll hold up tomorrow and next year and the year after. He will never not be a disaster as an NFL head coach. So I want to get to that. I want to talk about the Detroit Lions. I'm still pulling for these guys and more. Let's see here. Let's go to the reaction. Romy, how is the throat feeling? My guess, it came from an argument you had with your wife about your, quote, pantry time. You were yelling, "You're lucky I performed
lucky
for you bastards.
For you
leave
bastards.
Me in the pantry alone.
Leave me alone."
Mike in Green Bay. What? All right, so you want a behind-the-scenes look. I'll tell you how the conversation goes with Dodger Jano and I about the pantry. Back in the day, Dodger Jano would say, "I don't think you want to go in there." And she wouldn't say it like, hey, old man, you're fat, and I don't want to be married to a fat man. She was coming from a place of, you know you're going to feel terrible. You know you're going to hate yourself. You know you're going to regret it. I don't think you want to go in there. And then I would look at her and say, sweetheart, I love you. I'm going in there.
Sweetheart.
But then I got on this kick as part of the Reinvention Project, which is not just a podcast, but a lifestyle. And I dropped some weight and got pretty fit and went hard. So now when I saunter over to the pantry, Dodger Jano doesn't say anything at all. And not in a way, like, I'm not saying that as a way of, hey, yo, how you like me now? But she's like, you kind of earn the right to do what you want to do. Your process works. You look great. You feel great. If you want to go in there and jack it all up, that's on you. But no, we don't. Dodger Jano and I never, ever argue. And I know you'll call bullcrap on that because every couple does. We don't. But if we did, it would not be over pantry time. So incorrect response, Mike. Jimmers, what's the problem? We all thought you sounded epic yesterday. Sincerely, Wisco Geese. Ed in SA. I'm telling you, I was a legend on this show. You should hear me on that podcast. There's something to it. There is something to, you know, athletes always talk about adrenaline, when they really mean Toradol, or the spike. No, there's something to adrenaline. There's something to show adrenaline. Once you start to heat up and you get that energy and you're in it, it actually works as like natural cortisone. I mean, there's something to it. Because yesterday when I came off the air after the 3 hours and I went back to my office to chill out and do some prep and get ready for the podcast, when I came back in the box to do it, I sounded totally different and 100 times worse. Just listen to the podcast and you'll
totally
see it.
Trash.
I sounded totally trashed. Hey, Rome, this October, you can count on an epic Subway Series between the Yankees and the Mets. Put it on your schedule.
My schedule.
Aaron in Iowa. That'd be kind of cool. I know we're not going to get the other freeway series, so we might as well get a Subway Series. Mike Trout's got a bad back. Question is, how bad is that back? And how bad of a spot are they in? I'm not rooting for anything, but since I have the Mets at plus 800, I know he's a once-in-a-lifetime human being, but look at the Angels. What the hell, man? Might as well just trade Shohei to the Mets so I can make good on my bet, plus 800. JJ Sportmo, quote, "Lake Life Van Smack. I am loving all this Mizzou jungle love and karma. From Eli Drinkwitz getting nice yesterday to Max Scherzer leading the show today. War Tigers." All right, one thing before I go to break. Eli Drinkwitz getting nice does not begin to do justice to what Eli did when he came on the program yesterday.
Nice.
The exchange he and I had is one of my all-time introductory exchanges with a guest on this show in the history of the program. It was that nice. So saying this guy got nice does not begin to do justice with what he did in his first three responses on the show. It's incredible. One of my favorite moments ever on this show. I mean, that's not even hyperbole. And everybody who's been on the show for more than a minute agrees. It was one of our favorite moments in the history of this show. What Eli did yesterday. And he made news now. He made news. All right, when we come back, I'm going to reset that. At some point in hour number one. Maybe next segment, maybe at the bottom, but definitely sooner than later. Hey, look good, sound good. Sound good, feel good. Feel good, don't sound like a frog. Summertime, time to kick back with a great cigar. Whether you are looking for cigars for your special occasion or you turn this thing on its head and you buy a cigar to make it a special occasion, Famous Smoke Shop has exactly what you need. With 83 years in the cigar business, Famous Smoke offers the authentic cigar shop experience and expert advice and a huge selection of premium cigars, boxes, singles, samplers, and more, all under one roof at discount prices. I love these guys. Famous Smoke was even named the best place to buy cigars online by Cool Material and Cigar World. You know what? Add Jim Rome to that. I also think that it's the best place to buy cigars online. You get it, and you get a 30-day freshness guarantee, so your cigars arrive fresh or you get your money back. Remember, you do not have to be famous to smoke their cigars. If you want to save $10 off your purchase of $50, go to famous-smoke.com, famous-smoke.com. Use the code ROME10 or text ROME10 to 511-511. Get your favorite cigars, including Romeo, Acid, Macanudo, and more. Text ROME in the number 10 to 511-511 or go to famous-smoke.com today. You may receive up to one additional text. Text fees may apply. Text stop to opt out.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Mr. Toxic sets up what I was talking about. He writes, Eli was borderline erotic. War Alvey being jealous of Eli. Hey, based on the number of views of that video on Twitter, I would suggest that it was more than borderline erotic.
Borderline erotic.
Nothing borderline about that. That was straight eroticism.
Borderline erotic.
That was incredible. All right, so if you want to look behind the scenes, let me go ahead and give you one. Quick fact about the show. I'm not sure we've ever had a guest on this show who had a better first answer to a question than Eli Drinkwitz, Missouri head football coach, did yesterday. And a lot of you are still on that. And I'm glad that you are, because that absolutely jumps the day. I mean, I could replay the entire interview all over again today. I could. I'm not one of those guys who does that. Other hosts do that. I'm not one of those guys who replays the first hour in the third hour. In fact, a consultant would probably tell you, Rome, you need to do a better job of recycling and resetting. I don't do that. I could justify playing the entire interview again today because it was that good. I could justify playing that interview every single day for the next 6 months, and it would be justifiable because it was that good. It was just that good. Funny as hell. He was insightful as hell about building a program and connecting with young people and more. But how about the way he started the interview? How about the way he came onto the program, called me out, and then threw down the challenge for me to show some toughness? Eli Drinkwitz is my guest. Eli, it's always good to have you on and good to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing better than you are. You sound like crap, but you got an opportunity to display some toughness today, Jim, and that's really what fall camp's all about, isn't it?
Oh, hell yes. How you doing, Eli? Better than you, man. You sound like crap. However, it's an opportunity for you to show some toughness, which is what fall camp is all about, isn't it? I don't know that a guest has ever told me that I sounded like crap. Probably thought it, but nobody's come right out on the air on my show and said right in my face that I sound like crap. And by the way, he was so right. He was so right. And I'll be real.
Right in my face.
I did sound like crap yesterday, and I was banged up, and I was fighting it pretty hard. However, the coach came in here and lit a fire under my ass. He really did. That was an opportunity to show some toughness. There was no way I could let him down. No way I could afford to lose his respect. We could have walked off on that right then and there. We could have ended the interview with me welcoming him to the program, asking him how he was, and him responding with, "Better than you, dude. You sound like crap."
Sound like crap.
And that would have been one of the better interviews we've had in quite some time. In and of itself, is one of my favorite Jungle moments ever. But if you thought that he had a little something for me, that was nothing compared to what he had for Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt, and Jeremy Pruitt's wife with his next two responses.
I was going to say this too, Jim. I thought you were going to introduce my record, but with the latest allegations against Tennessee, let's hold up on what my record is because I expected to vacate some wins, and that's going to help my record a little bit.
Okay? Oh, man, this is getting better. This is getting so much better. Since you brought it up, can I get your reaction to the latest allegations against Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I got to question my wife's commitment to winning. You know, I mean, I don't know how much she's committed if she's not engaging in some of these things. I didn't know that was fair play. So, you know, we got to, you know, it was a little bit surprising to see the in-depth nature of what was going on there. But I am sure glad that Tennessee was taking some ownership of it, and we'll see what the results are, you know, but it's pretty interesting for sure.
Oh, hell yes. So amazing. I have to question my wife's commitment because she's not taking some of this on herself. Let me ask you something. Name one other coach currently coaching that would come on this show and do that. I've been thinking about it since he did it. Name one other coach that would do that. I mean, Lane Kiffin has it in him, but even Lane, I don't think, would come on the show and do what he just did, Eli. Steve Spurrier back in the day, for sure. Mike Leach, maybe. But even Leach, I don't think, could deliver that line or lines the way Eli did. I mean, that was absolutely an incredible moment. So even though I was fighting it hard in the first hour, I found another gear in the second hour. I dug deep in the third hour. And even in that podcast where I sounded so bad after the program. Because I had to. I had to because I couldn't let myself down. But more importantly, I could not let Coach Drinkwitz down. You want to know why that cat is doing the kind of recruiting at Missouri that nobody has ever done before? Pulling five-star types at Missouri. You want to know how that guy's doing that? And nothing against Missouri. There's a lot to like about Missouri. But he is recruiting his ass off. How is he getting guys? The guys that he's getting, it's because of interviews like that. Because that dude is real. That dude competes. That dude battles. That dude is smart. And he lets it rip. And people love him. And they love him for that very reason. He's bringing out the best in everybody around him, including me, a knucklehead behind the mic who sounds like a frog 2,000 miles away. Like I said, I've got no game and no eligibility, and I was ready to commit to the Tigers after that first answer. One of my favorite moments ever. That's it. Do it again, Alvin. You sound like crap, Ron.
Man, I'm doing better than you are. You sound like crap, but you got an opportunity to display some toughness today, Jim, and that's really what fall camp's all about, isn't it?
It is, Coach. It is, man. So smooth, so natural, so funny. Legend. Legend. And what precipitated that was I came out and I said, man, I sound like crap. I admit it. I'll own it. I sound like crap. I'm banged up. It's not the vid. It's not the vid, but whatever it is, it's winning. I sound like crap. And we go to our next guest, and he fired right out with, dude, you do sound like crap. However, it's an opportunity for you to show some toughness. Man up. One of my favorite moments ever from a guest. Could not love the guy more. at Mason Knorr tweets, golden ticket worthy interview there from Coach. Tell him to put the date of next year's smack off on his schedule.
My schedule.
Here's the thing. I don't know that it's a big enough platform for him. And it's the biggest platform there is in the game, the sports radio game. I mean, giving this guy a golden ticket and an invite probably is not enough. What I should be offering him is a guest hosting spot for the entire program when I'm on vacation. And by the way, shut up, Britt. By the way, not for a day or two, but I'm talking about for an entire week. I'm talking about, hey, Coach, if you want, you can have all 2 weeks. Golden ticket. That's beneath him. That's almost an insult. A golden ticket would be like me saying, you know, I got to vet this guy. I don't know if he can hang. I just said it was the greatest first response to a welcome that I've ever had on the show. He can go ahead and skip the golden ticket process. Hey, Brian Weber, sorry, my guy.
Out of here!
Good news, bad news. Bad news is I just ripped your slot to give it to Eli. Good news is more time for you to get to the drive-thru and do what you do.
Smash copious
amounts of nuggets and ask for extra sauce. Just kidding, Webb. I love you too, man. Yeah, no, I don't want to insult the coach by saying, hey, would you like a golden ticket to get in line with everybody else to compete with the best of the best? No, man, he's already jumped that line. What I'm saying to you is, he's that kind of player, the rare player, where not only do you waive the 5-year eligibility waiting period, he doesn't even need to wait until he's done playing. Put him in the Hall of Fame right now. I hate Mount Rushmore stuff. I may actually get a mountain and start carving his head into it as the one head on Mount Rushmore. I am still so pumped over that exchange. And then him going into Tennessee. I wasn't going to bring that up with him. That's how you know the guy's a legend.
Personally, I got to question my wife's commitment to winning. You know, I mean, I don't know how much she's committed if she's not engaging in some of these things. I didn't know that was fair play.
Incredible. It's not. It's not fair play. This dude is so great. Sorry about that, Nick. Hey, Vic, thank you very much for continuing to play the game outside the smack-off season. He's running circles around you other legends. Vic is coming in early and often and making it better. He writes, that's funny. Eli Drinkwitz was my alias back when I was coaching at Mizzou. Larry Eustace. Man, that's a throwback right there. That kind of was like the beginning of the era, right? Like that guy, and I'm not making light of his issues with alcohol for sure. I'm not making light of anybody's issues with alcohol. But that guy's act back in the day was prior to cell phone nation, social media, and the like. And it went badly for him. That's when it was first starting, you know, when Deadspin was becoming Deadspin and people were getting their cameras out. That's why athletes prior to that like to say, yeah, we were born a little early, so we missed on the max deals, the big money, but we also missed on the social media and the cameras. That's an old school reset there. What, you mean it's not okay for a head coach to go to co-ed parties, college parties, and hang out around the keg and drop lines on co-eds? That's not cool? That's not all right? All right, when we come back, I'm glad that you clones were still on that moment. Eli was jumping the day no matter what. That was too good. If you have more reaction, hit me up. Blake Wesley of the Spurs top.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I'm looking at what's trending on Twitter right now. And there's my guy, Delonte West. And I'm not even sure whether or not I want to get into this, because I don't want to feed or fuel those absolute a-holes that are doing what they're doing. I don't want anybody telling me what to do with my phone, so I'm not going to tell you what to do with your phone. But I will tell you this. If you're using your phone to roll video on Delonte so you can mock him and rush it to social media so you can put it up, you're a piece of crap. And for that, there are certain things about this show that I cannot bring back. Any of the families, specifically the Rat family. And there was once back in the day a piece of crap club on this show. And I had to retire that for obvious reasons. I may make an exception and bring that back for any of you a-holes that have nothing better to do in your life than to go looking for Delonte, who obviously is struggling and having a tough time, so you can find him and do a Q&A with him, like you're 60 Minutes or something, and then post it to mock him. Look in the mirror. Instead of asking what happened to him, look in the mirror and ask yourself, where the hell did my life go so wrong? Stop doing that. The problem with that is, like, now I just gave them what they wanted. A-holes like that are getting what they want, because it's almost universal on Twitter. When nobody can agree on one thing, or not all of us can agree on one thing, other than the a-holes doing it, it's almost 99.9999% unanimous that you're an a-hole if you do that. But the problem is, the people who are saying it are retweeting the video and saying how revolting it is. And that's not making it better either. And me, am I making it better by talking about it? Probably not, because you're giving those a-holes what they want. I'm just saying, do you not have anything in your life better to do than to mock people who are down and rush to the internet and social media to post it? Look in the mirror. Brutal. Anyway, so whenever I see Delonte trending, I know that that's happening still. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, Head, you're not helping him. You're not even funny, Head. Just communicating with the XR4TI, dude. Dude, there's a line, and you're crossing it right now, Head. I'm just going to say that. And I'm not saying that with any kind of false indignation. Dude, I appreciate what you bring to it. Namely, illiteracy and an edge. And you wash dogs for a living. But there is a line, even for us. Do not cross that line, brah. And you just did. That will not see the light of day. I'm going to scrub that from my phone. Don't do that, dude. You're them. You're them, Kelly. Don't be like them. 1-800-636-8686 is your telephone number. All right, so something else I want to get into really quickly. I talked about Eli Drinkwitz and how, although I'm a middle-aged guy with no game and no eligibility, I wanted to run through a wall for him. As if I needed any extra motivation yesterday, and I did not, I got it nonetheless. And who do you think I got it from? None other than somebody who I've never spoken to before, Lions head coach Dan Campbell.
I told the team last night our identity and who we are and our foundation is all about grit, and that's physical and mental toughness, and that means taking it one day at a time. You know, that means going a little longer and pushing a little harder, thinking a little deeper, a little sharper, you know, those terms. And so I think that when we think that way and we just worry about what's in front of us, everything else it'll play itself out.
Here's the thing. Almost every single coach in every single sport on every single level has a message that sounds like that, right? But there are certain guys that are getting a little more out of that message, even if they all have a similar message. And that's one of those guys. So we're still in July, and this guy's already bringing that kind of heat to the podium in July. I would say that Campbell is already in midseason form, but my guy's in postseason form Well, as if they would know anything about that. But he's in postseason form in July. As a head coach, generally, you have to save the grit speech for the dog days of camp when the heat is pounding and dudes are dragging and they're hanging. But he's going grit right out the gate. And I love it. I love it for me. I love it for the D because that tells me that team is ready. The foundation, the identity, it's being nailed to the wall right now. And yes, I know the games are not won from the podium. And there's a big difference between winning the presser and winning a game. But I'm all in. If you're asking me if I'm a Lions believer, here is my answer. And I'm ready to give it to you right now before the end of July. Yes, I am. I like what I hear. I liked what I saw from the kneecap biters last year. And I love what I'm hearing from this guy right now.
There's no turds here.
I love that then. There are no turds here. There are no turds here. Thing is, there may not be as many dubs as we would like, but there are zero turds here. I love that Jeff Okuda is back. I love that Aiden Hutchinson's already making some noise. Let me tell you how good things are. Things are so good that Calvin Johnson says he is open to mentoring rookie wideout Jameson Williams. That's how good things are in the D. You know how big that is? That not only is Megatron open to coming around, he's open to coming around and helping out. That tells me the Lions are turning the corner. The tide is turning. They're on the verge of, not to be cheesy, but restoring the roar. Yes, they started last season 0-8. Yes, they had two losses on last-second field goals. They had a tie with the Steelers. They had their hearts ripped out by Cleveland and Chicago. But they had a first-year head coach. They had a shaky roster. They were 0-10-1. They had every reason to bail, every reason to let go of the rope. But they didn't. They went 3-3 down the stretch. And you know what that is? Bleeping grit. To quote Coach Eli, an opportunity to show some toughness. I'm in. I'm in on the Lions. The Lions. What's going on? What's happening here? I'm hyping the Mets and Lions in hour one, and I mean it. I mean it. Blake Wesley, when we come back.